ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 4, The Atrocities of King Kamsa, Text 1.
Sri Shuka Vacha,
Sri Shuka Vacha,
Bahirantapura Dwara,
Bahirantapura Dwara,
Sarva Purvabhat
Avrita, Sarva Purvabhat
Chato bala dhunim shutta, griha pala samutita, bahiranta pura dwara, sarva purvavad avrita, chato bala dhunim shutta, Griha Pala Samut Tita. Sri Shuka Vacha.
Sri Shuka Vacha.
Sri Shukadeva Goswami said.
Sri Shukadeva Goswami said.
Bahi Anta Pura Dwara.
Bahi Anta Pura Dwara.
The doors inside and outside the house.
The doors inside and outside the house.
Sarva.
Sarva.
All.
Oh.
Purvavat,
Purvavat,
life before,
life before.
Avrita,
Avrita,
closed,
closed.
Tata,
Tata,
thereafter.
Thereafter.
Bala dhvanim,
Bala dhvanim,
the crying of the newborn child.
Shrutva,
hearing.
Hearing.
Grihapala,
Grihapala,
all the inhabitants of the house,
all the inhabitants of the house,
especially the doorman.
Samut-tita,
awakened. Translation. Shukadeva Goswami continued. My dear King Pariksit, the doors inside and outside the house closed as before. Thereafter, the inhabitants of the house, especially the watchmen, heard the crying of the newborn child and thus awakened from their beds. Purport. The activities of Yoga Maya are distinctly visible in this chapter, in which Devaki and Vasudeva excuse Kamsa for his many devious, atrocious activities, and Kamsa becomes repentant and falls at their feet. Before the awakening of the watchmen and the others in the prison house, many other things happen. Krishna was born and transferred to the home of Yashoda and Gokul. The strong door is opened and again closed, and Vasudeva resumed his former condition of being shackled. The watchmen, however, could not understand all this. They awakened only when they heard the crying of the newborn child, Yogamaya. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has remarked that the watchmen were just like dogs. At night, the dogs in the street act like watchmen. If one dog barks, many other dogs immediately follow it by barking. Although the street dogs are not appointed by anyone to act as watchmen, they think they are responsible for protecting the neighborhood. And as soon as someone unknown enters it, they all begin to bark. Both Yogamaya and Mahamaya act in all material activities. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasya. But although the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead acts under the Supreme Lord's direction, maya jakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam, dog-like watchmen, such as politicians and diplomats, think they are protecting their neighborhoods from the dangers of the outside world. These are the actions of maya. But one who surrenders to Krishna
is relieved of the protection afforded by the dogs and dog-like guardians of this material world. Om Agyana Timidam Dasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namala Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudevi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So many things have happened, and the ordinary persons are completely unaware. This is the way of existence. Just like on the material platform, ordinary citizens don't know what's going on in their country. They don't know all the economic and political maneuvers that are going on over their head, under their feet, all around them. It's like when I was talking to the former Prime Minister of New Zealand. He told me, what do the people know? There used to be a time when we would be afraid of the people uprising. But we don't worry about that anymore. We just give them more sports, more television channels. They're completely satisfied. He said, for example, we know 90% of the people in this country are against a cashless society, a society that functions just on electronic money. We know they're against it, 90%, but they're going to get it anyway. And he told me, he said, if you're smart enough to figure this out, become one of us. He said, either you're a controller or you're the controls. There's no in between. It's not that we're demons. I know what you Hare Krishna's think. Demons are in control. No, it's just somebody has to be in control, so it might as well be us. And if you can figure it all out, become one of us. You're welcome. Otherwise, there's going to be more TV, more sports, and that'll keep the people satisfied. So, these are the dog-like plans of those who have appointed themselves to protect the world, to protect you. But you're unaware of all their schemes, all their plans. He was also telling me something that is now common knowledge. He said, there's the plan to make it so that university graduates earn as much as or less than a tradesman, like an electrician or a plumber. Because we don't want all these pseudo-intellectual, middle-class university graduates trying to run the country. Yeah. We just want controllers under control. So we're going to depress their wages. You want to go to university? Fine. But you won't get as much money as an electrician or a plumber. And in other words, your opinion won't count very much. And this is exactly what's happened. At least in New Zealand, a plumber can make can make more than any lawyer, except that he's a top, like QC or something like that. A master plumber makes more. It's happening now. Tradespersons make so much money driving big flashy cars. So this former government leader explained this to me 8 years ago. This is the plan. We want to make life simple for the peace and betterment of the world. They've appointed themselves. We are the protectors. And you are protected. How many TV channels can you get? Isn't that protection? How are your sports teams doing? That's really protection. And then you have other buffoons in other parts of the world, across the Pacific. The head general who was in charge of the Iraq invasion, he revealed that every morning when he goes to his office, he's leaving the house, and his wife does a ritual, puja, every morning. She comes up, embraces him, gives him a kiss, and then whispers in his ear, "Make the world safer for democracy, honey." Every morning. She empowers him with the mantra, whispering in his ear. So
So you all are thinking, who appointed this guy? who put him in charge of the world? But he's feeling like that. And of course, behind or alongside or in front of every great man, you know, is the woman. And she's empowering him.
Make the world a safer place for democracy.
This is going on. Just recently, one helicopter crashed in Iraq, and 30 soldiers or so died. And what did the watchman in charge say? The national leader? He said, "We hate it that lives are sacrificed. But if this is the price we have to pay for there to be freedom in the world, we will pay that price." Freedom in the world? Freedom from what? More and more we see people becoming under the influence of passion and ignorance. They don't even care anymore. It becomes normal. This is even affecting our devotees. Passion dictates what is right. There should be world peace, and passion dictates what is the reality. That's the peace formula. Let the senses be uncontrolled. Let there be no program for adhering your senses to a higher plan, and then world peace will happen. This is what's going on today. So, Prabhupada writes a very provocative purport, inviting you, don't you want to be relieved of the protection afforded by the dogs and dog-like guardians of this material world? Don't you want to be relieved? Or do you want to continue under their sublime guidance? That you have to decide. How much do we know what's going on? We don't know very much at all. Similarly, the residents of Kamsa's house, they didn't know what was going on either. They were sleeping soundly in ignorance. Meanwhile, Yoga Maya was at work. The spiritual energy of the Lord was at work, arranging everything. Doors opening, closing. A baby transferred from the prison to Gokul. Vasudeva's shackles coming off and then coming back on. River crossings, which baby Krishna falls into the river. All these things are going on. Meanwhile, the residents of the palace, Kamsa's house, are sleeping very peacefully in ignorance, not having a clue of all the scams that are going on created by Yoga Maya. And then they hear the crying of a newborn child, and then they wake up. We're alert. We know what's happening. We heard the crying of a newborn child. We're right on to it. No, they were completely out of it. They don't have a clue what happened. But with their ordinary sense perception, they think they understand the situation. We've been sleeping very nicely.
Yes.
And then we heard the newborn child crying. We tuned right in. We know what to do. We'll immediately go to get Kamsa, inform him. We're on to it. We're watchmen. We're giving protection. And actually, a whole complexity of events has transpired. They have no idea what happened. Vasudeva is back in the prison cell. The shackles are back on his arms and legs. The doors are closed. And there's a female child there. That is the reality that the watchmen see. They don't understand all the other things. They certainly don't understand how the Lord's Yogamaya energy works. They had been effectively covered by Mahamaya, which is the branch of Yogamaya for dealing with non-devotees. They see, but they don't see. But with pride, you look at the situation, yeah, I understand what's going on.
Yeah.
An ordinary person looks at his world, her world, today. Yeah, I understand. I saw the news this evening. I know what's going on. Just like you hear people talking about sports. Why didn't he do that? And why didn't the coach, or whatever you call him, why didn't he arrange this and that? And they really get into it. As if they totally understand the dynamics, you know, of their rugby or their Australian rules match. He should have done like this. I know what's going on. Why didn't they put so-and-so on the field? So similarly, people talk like that about their economic and political leaders, the watchmen who they surrendered to. But actually, neither the people nor these watchmen have any idea what's going on. But meanwhile, everyone is trying to just enjoy their senses at the expense of someone else. How can any gentleman or lady participate in this hypocrisy? So where shall we turn for real dealings? Where shall we turn for reality? That is why Srila Prabhupada said this Krishna conscious movement is the only hope. We're not saying by that, we're not implying that everything every devotee does is perfect. Srila Prabhupada once made a very profound point. He said, it's true, we're not perfect, referring to his disciples. He said, but at least we're trying. That is an extraordinary thing, to try for perfection. No one talks about that these days, you know, trying for perfection. I remember my last month at university, I probably told you before, this university graduates all the controllers of the USA, the presidential candidates, most of them come from there. So that was my last month there. I turned on the television for some relief, and there I saw, later I would know them as Arjayadvaita Swami and other devotees. And they were talking about perfection, controlling your senses, following rules so that you can purify yourself. I just laughed. What fools! What fools! What do they know about bliss? We should invite them to one of our parties. We'll show them what a nande is. That's what I said. A year later, I was in the Brahmachari Ashram distributing Prabhupada's books. What happened? The month after I saw that television show, I got one of Srila Prabhupada's books. And after two pages, I just collapsed. The Transcendental Teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. I met a Sankirtan devotee at a train station, and I got it and just was devastated. And from then on, every day I would read Prabhupada's books 4 hours a day. Never would go to the temple, but for 6 months straight, I read them 4 hours a day. I said, this is the greatest. This is the real knowledge, education I've been searching for. That book cost me $2. The education that I had is now costs, for 4 years, $100,000. For 4 years at this university, $100,000. The book cost me $2. Okay, maybe now the same book would cost $3. So how do you compare $100,000 versus $3? But when I read that book, I understood this is someone who knows what they're talking about. Now I can become free from these false appointed watchmen, dog-like watchpersons. I was sick of all these government leaders, talking, and then they're simply interested in their own sense gratification, that's all. Just like I may have mentioned before, while at the university, it was a time when every student was into radical politics, uplifting the people, stopping the exploitation, economic opportunity for everyone. Help the downtrodden, down with imperialism, down with thisism, thatism, capitalism. So we had a big revolutionary weekend, and all the students were planning the weekend. We had a steering committee to plan the revolutionary weekend with all the revolutionary seminars, you know, economic upliftment of the downtrodden people, political emancipation for the oppressed people. You know, we invited guest speakers, this, that, and the other, and then it came to the main part of the agenda. because at that time this university was all boys. Because there was some traditional understanding many decades ago that if you want real education, you keep the men and women separate. They actually understood that point. Anyway, the next year would all change, but that was the last year of all men, just the University of All Men. Mm. It's not that the women were discriminated against. They had also super posh schools just for ladies. So it wasn't like, you know, the ladies were getting the short end of the stick. It's just that someone understood. You can't have men and women in each other's faces all the time if you want real education to go on. That's all. So, we got to the main part of the agenda. Okay. After all the revolutionary seminars are finished, radical readjustment of wealth and political power. As you all know, we are bussing in revolutionary sisters from nearby ladies' universities. Everyone immediately perked up. Bring on the revolutionary sisters. And so then, they got to the real point of it all. After the revolutionary seminars are over with the revolutionary sisters, it's going to be time for the revolutionary party. And then one particular guy, I'll never forget him, he got up and stood up like in a very noble and like sacrificial way, you know, and he said, "Brothers, I've been given the task to organize the cleaning of the party facilities after the festivities are over." You know, he kind of he's doing his bit for the people. So I just want to say that if it's 2 o'clock in the morning and you failed, that is, you haven't made it back to a motel room with a revolutionary sister, then come on back to the party room and help clean it up. Hey, as deluded as I was that time, I just said, "Oh my God, what is that? What is the use of all this? This is crazy." And these are all the future controllers of the USA. Some of them I know. They're like mayors of Baltimore, big financiers. But this is what's going on. That's all there is. So when I read Prabhupada's books and I found for the first time someone is saying these things so clearly and offering spiritual knowledge at the same time, this is it. Effectively, these people in Kamsa's house are asleep, even though they think they have awakened. They don't understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has appeared. They're not awake. To be a devotee, we have to have a desire to wake up, a desire to come out of darkness. That's why we say, "Om Jnana Timiramanasya." I was born in dense darkness with my eyes forced shut. It's one thing, you know, to be sleeping. It's another thing when you forcibly keep your eyes shut. You may know when you're laying down and you're not asleep, but someone comes in the room and you don't want to talk to that person, you just force your eyes shut. I don't want to hear him. I don't want to talk to him. I don't want him asking me to do anything. I'm asleep. You force your eyes shut. That is what material existence is like. Our eyes were forced shut in the darkness. Now, if you've ever been in a completely dark room, you know what the natural tendency is. Where's the light switch? Let's get some light in this room. Who has a torch? How? We just can't stumble around the darkness. That's the natural tendency. When there's darkness, you look for the light. No one likes to stumble around in, you know, pitch black night. You want to see. Well, that is also an appropriate example for our spiritual inquisitiveness. We shouldn't just be satisfied to stay in the darkness of material existence, pretending we understand everything. It's all a game. Let's pretend. It's a deadly game, though, because after a few short years of playing this game, you're pushed on to another body, and that next body, you don't know what it will be. That is a reward for living in darkness. But why live in darkness? The natural tendency is, where's the light? Let's shed some light on the subject matter. Let's have some illumination. As soon as you walk into a dark room, what is your natural tendency? Oh, let's open the shades. There's some light in here. Let's turn on the light switch. Do any of you like living in a very dark room? No. So similarly, we should understand that we have no liking for the darkness of ignorance. But we become conditioned. This is the way it is. Everyone lives like that. This is the tragedy of material existence. You become conditioned to something that's actually against your nature. This is a great tragedy. Srimad Bhagavatam is described as the light through the darkness of Kali Yuga. Now, how can that be? You may say, maybe this is just some kind of sectarian rah-rah talk. Other religions have their scriptures, Bible, Kijai, Quran, Kijai. So we have Bhagavatam, Kijai. You may have some doubt in your mind that that's what it is. But we all need to understand the real reason why the Bhagavatam is super excellent, and it's considered the light for those who want to get out of the darkness of Kali Yuga. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there is no other motive for approaching God than pure devotion. That is what puts the Bhagavatam above all other scriptures. The Bhagavatam sweeps out dharma projita kaitavotra, sweeps out all motives to relate to God for the purpose of increasing your comfort or for the purpose of speculation. Bhagavata means take your knowledge of God straight from God and perform your service for God simply for the pleasure of God. That is Bhagavatam. That is Krishna consciousness. Therefore, we're not being sectarian or fanatical to say that there's no religious text to compare to Srimad Bhagavatam. Not possible. And through the Bhagavatam, you can see. This is something every devotee needs experience of. Otherwise, you'll think we're just dealing with religious belief, religious theory. Through the Bhagavatam, you can see. Try it. It just takes some time for you to replace your material programmed intelligence with the intelligence of Shukadeva Goswami and Prichit Maharaj. Shukadeva is explaining to Prichit, Bahiranta Pura Dwara. All the doors inside and outside the house closed just like before. Everything looked normal. Prichit Maharaj is accustomed to these mystical situations caused by the Lord's energy. From his very appearance in this world, in the womb of his mother Uttara, he saw extraordinary things. You all remember how Uttara was carrying the last heir of the Pandavas, the last one who would be able to rule on behalf of their family. And Ashwatthama was trying to finish off the baby in Uttara's womb so that the whole family dynasty would be extinguished. So he sent, as you know, a localized nuclear weapon after the child in the womb of Uttara. That child was Prichit Maharaj. Uttara immediately ran to Krishna. Pahi Pahi Mahayogin Deva Deva Jagatpate. Deliver me, Lord of the universe, Lord of the lords, master of all mystics. Was she asking for something for herself? No. She was saying, I don't mind dying, but please protect the child in my womb. Krishna appeared within her womb. It's not difficult. He is everywhere. He's in every atom. Andantarastha, Paramana Chandrastha, Govindam, Adi Purusham, Tamamajami. What is the difficulty in the Lord appearing? Either in the womb of Devaki or the womb of Uttara? Inside, outside, it's all the same for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, the baby in the womb, Pritchett, was feeling the excruciating heat of the Brahmastra weapon. He had to tolerate it, showing that even as a baby in the womb, he was going to be a great fighter. And meanwhile, he saw the Lord, about the size of a thumb, four hands, circulating within the womb and dissipating the heat from the nuclear weapon, just like the sun dissipates the dew that falls in the morning. Pritchett Maharaj was watching. The baby in the womb was watching. Who is this most beautiful person? Then suddenly, that person disappeared. And after Pritchett took birth, he spent his whole life searching for someone like that person he had seen in the womb. Therefore, he has the name Pritchett, the observer, the examiner. He's observing, he's examining. Where is that person I saw? So Pritchett Maharaj is acquainted with the extra level of reality, the most significant level of reality. So it's not difficult for him to hear from Shukadeva Goswami about Yoga Maya making doors close and open and prison chains come off and come on and babies switch between Vrindavan and Mathura. It's not a problem for him. And as we increase in our spiritual experiences, we'll also have more faith in Bhagavatam. How do you increase your spiritual experiences? Through devotional service. We always explain. Devotee means devotional service. The devotional service gives you an opportunity to experience the Lord in action. And then your realization increases. You become stronger. You can see how through your service, no matter what it is, Krishna reciprocates with you, he teaches you, he purifies you, he lets you know, I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are my devotee. All that comes through devotional service. Therefore, the Lord himself says in Bhagavad Gita, Bhakchama Avijananti, only by devotion, action in Krishna consciousness, can I be understood. He doesn't say, just believe in me and you'll understand me. No, he says, by devotional service, I'll be understood. Therefore, a devotee is always very concerned about the quantity and quality of his or her devotional service. That is our lifestyle. Because through that service, we get God realization. We get to understand Krishna. And then we become stronger and we can give that understanding and experience to others. So Pritchett Maharaj knows these things. And he's very eagerly hearing Shukadeva Goswami continue describing the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. Shukadeva Goswami is fond of Pritchett because Pritchett listens so attentively. So Goswami says, my dear King Pritchett, this is how it's happening. This is how things are going on. Similarly, we as devotees love to hear about Krishna, about the devotees of the Lord. We want to truly perceive how things are going on. Sometimes you may think, this is just, once again, fanatical talk, sectarian talk. Only the devotees know what's going on. The non-devotees do not understand anything. Sometimes you may even join in, yeah. And then later, well, you know, I just had to say that, otherwise all the devotees kind of, you know, think I'm not fired up. No, you try to understand how that is so. Just look at this scene here. None of the residents of the house knew what had happened, in spite of a whole complexity of actions. They didn't know. As Prabhupada starts the purport, he says, the activities of Yoga Maya are distinctly visible in this chapter. What's going to happen? Prabhupada's an expert writer also. He's giving you advance, you know, like, what do you call it, movie previews? You're going to see Devaki and Vasudeva excuse Kamsa for his many devious, atrocious activities. You're going to see Kamsa become repentant and fall at their feet. He's letting you know. He's building your expectations. And it is quite a dramatic scene. Kamsa begging forgiveness. We'll talk about that tomorrow. How Kamsa was so inspired by seeing that apparently Devaki had given birth to Durga. Suddenly, Kamsa understood her status as a Mahabhagwat because Durga, Devi, had come from her, the goddess of the material energy. He couldn't understand anything about her in relation to Krishna. But Durga, yes, now we're talking real religion. Finally, I'm getting to see reality. I can't believe it. My sister has given birth to Durga Devi. I didn't understand her transcendental nature. Now I know it. So he begged her forgiveness piteously. Actually, it was not me who killed your six children. It was all by providence. We are not the doers. Providence arranges everything. The most hideous brute, savage, leader, would make the current savage leaders of Kali Yuga look very innocent compared to Kamsa. So powerful. And now he's falling at the feet of Vasudeva and Devaki. Forgive me, forgive me. I didn't mean to do it. I didn't mean to kill six of your children. It just happened by the way of providence. Just put yourself in Vasudeva and Devaki's shoes. If someone killed six of your infants as soon as they were born, one after another, and then came falling at your feet begging for forgiveness. How would you react? Often you hear about killers being sentenced to life imprisonment or sometimes in some countries death, and then they ask the family of the victim, how do you feel about this? And they're like, that animal deserves more than to die. Is there something more than the death penalty that animal can get? That's just, you know, they're feeling that way. Sometimes at best they say, I feel sorry for the family of the murderer. So that's as best as it gets. You know? But as far as the murderer himself or herself, But here, Vasudeva and Devaki are going to forgive Kamsa. We'll talk about some of the reasons why they so readily forgive Kamsa. Because remember, Vasudeva is a Kshatriya, and Devaki is the wife of a Kshatriya, so there's always an element of shrewdness there. All right. Are there any questions? Yes.
And so, 6 days and 7 months, so many people were inclined into spiritual life. Now, 30 years later, we see such a rapid decline on the inclines to these goals of life. So, how is it that sort of such a strong covering now is?
They're inquiring about spiritual life these days. All the New Age books are selling hugely. But it's spiritual life according to their contaminated conception. They're inquiring. They're buying so many books and reading them. I know one very prominent author who sells books in the millions. He says brilliant things like, when you're searching for a spiritual path, make sure you find one that's not burdened by rules and regulations. Because when there's too many rules and regulations, they press down on your shoulders and prevent you from floating upwards in pure spiritual attainment. They block your ascent. This burden of rules and regulations. And people are buying that. What the famous pop Ayurveda expert, you know, sells millions of books, millions. Translated languages all over the world. What does he say? If you want to know whether something is right or wrong, just consult your body. If your body gives you a good feeling, you know it's right. Do it. If your body gives you a bad feeling, you know it's wrong. Don't do it. People are gobbling all this up. One problem, the author who made the point about don't take a path with rules and regulations which will burden your shoulders and prevent you from floating upwards. One of his devotees told me personally, she was in a pub in Hawaii, and there were some people getting drunk in the corner, and there she saw her acharya, her hero, and just getting blasted, wasted, and then he just started roaring out, I'm making millions of dollars and I'm just writing complete junk. And the people are buying it. She was shattered. Oh, this is what's going on these days. They are inquiring, but they're inquiring to all the wrong places, to all the wrong people. So, it requires more work by the devotees of Lord Krishna. Srila Prabhupada explained an expert businessman makes a profit regardless of the market conditions. Whether the price of rice is going up or down, an expert businessman knows how to make a profit. Similarly, the devotees of the Lord, they should be expert to preach in all circumstances because the winds are changing. It's the same old basic Maya, but the flavor of Maya may change. In any case, this way, that way, our business is the same. How to bring people into contact with Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna Prasad, and the holy name of Krishna. Now you don't have long-haired people, you know, running to the door. This is the Hare Krishnas. I want to stay overnight. Maybe I want to stay my life. Got a place on the floor for me? Come on in. We'll shave you up tomorrow morning. And you leave a long sika on the guy down to... It's not happening like that anymore. But that doesn't mean there aren't people who want to understand. They're just going to all the wrong places. Recently, Bibi Govinda Maharaj was telling me his experience of doing Harinam in the center of New York City. When I was a young devotee in the 70s, there were so many Harinam parties. There was so much book distribution, so much prasad distribution. Some weeks we would distribute 20,000 lajus. Kurma has done research and said actually this word laglu came from someone misunderstanding Prabhupada. Prabhupada said ladu, and anybody said laglu. So from then on, 30 years ago, devotees say laglus. But anyway, 20,000 of those distributed in the subways every week. I had people in New York come up to me saying, we see you guys everywhere. How many? Are there thousands of you? Wherever they go, we'd be there. Sports games, drive-in movies, 11 o'clock at night. And, you know, they'd be in their cars watching a movie and knock on the car window. They'd drop a Krishna book into the... We're just doing a benefit here, giving out a nice book, you know. The drive-in owner, you know, he's sponsoring this. You give a donation. People are just, what? I can't believe it. You guys are everywhere. And Bibi Govinda Maharaj was telling me he led a chanting party in the center of New York, Times Square. And this is last year. And all of a sudden, a lady shopkeeper comes running out. Who are you people? Who are you? I've never seen you before. So, Maharaj, are you in New York? Yeah, I've been here all my life. Never seen you people. This was a problem. So, somehow, we have to always be in contact with people, seeking to relieve their horrible situation, living under dog-like watch persons who falsely appointed themselves as protectors of the world. You want to be free. You need freedom. We're doing this all for freedom. Freedom to do what? Freedom to purchase. freedom to consume. That's all. Who can give relief other than the devotees of Lord Krishna? But first, we have to understand that Srimad Bhagavatam gives relief because it's different. It's about relating to the Supreme Lord without any ulterior motive. Would you like someone treating you without any ulterior motive? It's like Paramahuna. Suppose your wife one day told you, you know, I just married you to get out of Eastern Europe and come to Australia. How would you feel? How would you feel?
How would I feel? Well, you did well.
No, you would be, you know. Here you are thinking, she married me because of my, you know, Vaishnav qualities, my good looks, my charm, and then you find out, you know, you were just a ticket, you know, out of Lithuania or Murmansk. Your wife's from Murmansk?
Yeah.
Oh. I go there every year. Above the Arctic Circle. Suppose you found out that, you know, that was the motive, the hetu, Sanskrit word is, the cause.
That was the motive. I would have felt duped and disappointed, for sure.
But anyway, you're getting service. What's the big deal? You're getting service? You should know these irons, right?
Yeah.
No, what are you complaining about? Why are you worried about the motive? So this is how we seek to treat Krishna. What are you worried about my motive for? You're getting service out of me? Yeah, I want to get out of the material world. When are you going to do it? I don't want to suffer anymore. I want sense gratification without repercussion. When are you going to arrange it? So now, when we just look at things in a practical way, in a personal way, we understand, how can I do this to Krishna? I wouldn't want it for myself. So this is why the Bhagavatam is different. Now, it doesn't mean that every devotee who opens the Bhagavatam is perfect. But as Prabhupada said, at least we have the perfect thing, and most of us are trying to be perfect. That is an extraordinary thing. Amen? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Glory to Prabhupada.
Namaste. Namaste. Namaste.